You're listening to Inner Demons, the comic book podcast based on Marvel's very own spirit of vengeance, Ghost Rider. Here we will discuss comics, news, movie and TV appearances, and everything in between. And now, here are your hosts on this fiery road to hell, Chris Munn and Brian Biggie. Let's ride.
Welcome, everybody, to the newest episode of Inner Demons, the Ghost Rider podcast. This is your vengeance-fueled yet lovable host, Brian Biggie, and this is episode 48 of the show. Longtime listeners will be wondering why Chris Munn, my co-host, is not here today, and he is going to be stepping away from the show for the foreseeable future. He's got some stuff going on in his life that he wants to focus on, and honestly, doing podcasts are pretty hard and a lot of effort, so he handed the keys to the hell cycle over to me to move the show forward. So that's what I'm going to do, guys. I'm going to try to take it in a different direction. I'd love to get some more listener feedback and maybe some poll engagement, get some more interactivity with the listeners to really kind of to change the show a little bit in a positive way. So that is my goal for the future, and I hope you guys are along for the ride for this highway to hell. So thank you guys for sticking around for this many episodes, and I hope to have you guys stick around in the future as well. So today we have a bunch of reviews on tap, and they are the following. We have Ghost Rider number 3 and Ghost Rider number 4 from the newest series. We're also going to be reviewing Ghost Rider number 11 from 2006 with Daniel Way's run. And last but not least, we have a review for the most recent poll winner. We recently had a poll on the show for a classic flashback review, and we really wanted to get listeners to engage with us and tell us what review that they'd like us to do. So with that being said, we have the winner of the most recent poll. With 53% of the vote, we have Ghost Rider number 20 from the 1990s. So that will be our fourth flashback review for this episode. And it's going to be a real great time, guys. So first things first, let's talk a little bit about some of the upcoming news with Ghost Rider going on. We have a couple series that have come out since the last time we recorded. We had Incoming, which is the Marvel murder mystery, which actually featured a four-page Ghost Rider story in it. We'll be talking about later in the episode. And recently, spinning out of Incoming, we have Empire with a Y. Empire is a cosmic space-faring adventure featuring the Kree and the Skrulls and stuff like that. And Robbie Reyes is a part of that with his involvement in the Avengers. So that came out pretty recently. So that is in the news there. We also had a few other books that had some Ghost Rider ties. One of them being The Ruins of Ravencroft, specifically the Sabretooth issue. There was a mention of a prior Ghost Rider in history that was the Headless Horseman of all things. So I guess that's a pretty fun series from what I gather. I haven't picked up the issues yet, but a lot of people I've spoken to said it's been really, really great. So definitely check that out if you want to learn about some of the mysteries behind the Ravencroft Institute. Also, out of the pages of the Avengers books, Robbie Reyes is still involved with the team. And actually, he's out in space doing his thing, working with the Avengers, with Starbrand and Captain Marvel. And I guess recently, Robbie Reyes was able to acquire Silver Surfer's surfboard from him in a recent issue. So that's pretty great news for Robbie Reyes fans, for sure. So also, we wanted to give a shout out to The Collective, which is the awesome group of podcasts that we are involved with in a podcast network. They are a great group of folks, and we work together a lot on many, many things. You may even be seeing some Collective members pop up in your Inner Demons programs from now on, once in a while, as guest hosts, potentially. So look forward to that in the future. So we're going to take a short break, and we're going to play a clip from a Collective member, and we'll be back with some of the reviews for today's episode. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm one of the High Priests of Khonshu Rey, and I have the sacred privilege of providing you, the loony listener, with a podcast honoring Marvel's very own Moon Knight. Want to learn more about the Fist of Khonshu in comics? You got it. We review all current and classic runs from Mensch to Houston to Lemire. Want to know where else to find the Avatar of Vengeance? Glad you asked. We also review action figures, video games, animation, TV, anything and anywhere Moon Knight is featured, we've got it covered. All this along with any latest news which may feature our White Knight, week in or week out. So join me and a host of others at Into the Night, a Moon Knight podcast. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram, or support the show by becoming a Patreon member. Into the Night, a Moon Knight podcast. It's time to get your Khonshu on.
Alrighty, welcome back, gang. So, let's get right into the reviews for today's episode. The first issue we're going to be reviewing is Ghost Rider number 3 by Ed Brisson and Juan Fregeri, who's filling in for Aaron Cooter. And we'll also be doing the synopsis for the fourth issue as well. So, first off, we open up in the North American Plains in 1654. A Native American Ghost Rider does battle with a six-armed being named Necrosis. He quickly destroys the Ghost Rider and says that Mephisto should leave the realm of Limbo alone, and then vanishes mysteriously through a portal. Back in New York, present day, Danny Ketch is pulled out of the East River by Sister Sarah, the caretaker of the Ghost Riders. She says Ketch needs to stop Johnny Blaze before it's too late. After discussing it with a fadeaway bar, Danny still declines to help, saying that he doesn't like what Blaze is doing, but he is happy to be free finally. However, he's reminded of seeing his recently deceased mother telling him pretty much the same message, so he sneaks off to find someone to talk to about the situation. In Hell, Lilith and her minions plot to take over and create a portal for the demons to travel through. Back on Long Island, New York, Danny Ketch finds his old girlfriend, Stacy Dolan, right before she goes back in to see her family at the end of a long work shift of her police duty. Stacy demands to find out what happened to her fellow cop who had died in the line of duty, and Danny says that his brother, it's his brother who's been corrupted, who did it. She convinces him to do his part and take down Blaze. Ketch finds Sister Sarah before she departs New York and agrees to help her out with her mission. Meanwhile, we cut to Blaze as he destroys some demons on the way to Vegas. He's on a mission to get Mephisto. Now, we're going to move on to Ghost Rider number 4, also by Ed Brisson, with the returning Aaron Cooter and also Juan Fregeri for art duties as well. We open with Danny and Sister Sarah going over the plan to go to the realm of Limbo via a mystical portal, and they need to find Belasco and Necrosis. We cut to Johnny Blaze as him and Wong are fighting hordes of demons that are there to free Mephisto at the Hotel Inferno. They succeed battling the demons, but Johnny Blaze starts going up the stairs to release Mephisto from his prison before the next onslaught. Wong refuses and throws Blaze back with magic. A battle ensues, and Johnny Blaze demands to know why everyone left him in Hell after his doing his part and sacrificing his own life during the Damnation miniseries. Wong says it was too dangerous and they were trying to figure out how to do it, but they just hadn't come to that conclusion yet. Blaze then grabs Wong and punches him with the penance stare, and then heads to the top of the hotel. Once there, Blaze tells Mephisto that he needs his help in preventing even more demons from leaving Hell. Johnny wraps up his chain around the cage and surprisingly frees Mephisto before he can get out. Blaze wraps up his chain on Mephisto's cage and to his surprise frees him from his prison. Before he can celebrate his newfound freedom, Blaze drags Mephisto by his chain away from Vegas. Meanwhile, Danny journeys through Limbo until encountering Lord Belasco and his minions. He begs Belasco for help, and he agrees only if Ketch can defeat the powerful being known as Necrosis. Necrosis wails on Danny and strikes him across the face. But before Necrosis finishes Danny off, Belasco decapitates his own man and spares Danny's life. Belasco then hopes to use Ketch to help him be an emissary of Limbo. So using blood from the recently fallen Necrosis, Ketch is empowered and becomes the new spirit of corruption. And that is where these issues end. All right, so let's talk about issue number 3 here. It opens up with a great show of Necrosis' power in the Old West as he takes on the Native American Ghost Rider. It's a real foreshadowing what kind of entity that Ketch eventually has to encounter and fight in issue 4. Now, at the end of issue number 2, Danny was dropped off the Brooklyn Bridge into the East River. I'm happy to see him survive here. I was thinking he was going to be dead and maybe showing up in hell or something, but he gets dragged to safety by Sister Sarah, and I'm really glad to see her back because she had a big role in Jason Aaron's run about 10 years ago. So I love the fact that she's back in the picture, and she has ways of helping Danny Ketch here. For Gary's artwork, for filling in for an Aaron Cooter who stepped away for an issue, it's outstanding, especially during Johnny Blaze's transformation scene. You see his face, the skull kind of coming out from underneath and with the you know, his sunglasses. It's a really compelling scene, so I really, really enjoyed it a lot. And I did like Danny Ketch, bringing up events of the 90s issues when his discussion with Stacy, talking about their lives and how he feels that he's really lost a lot due to the spirit of vengeance. But I thought that was a very cool moment. And there's a little bit of exposition there for some of the fans that didn't read during that time period. I did think it was interesting that he was actually blaming the Ghost Rider for a lot of things that went wrong in his life, even though it's really his own fault in a lot of ways. But it just shows a little bit of character development, and I appreciate that a lot from Ed Brisson. He's not just a one-note character here, and that's something that for many years, even Danny Ketch fans were willing to admit sometimes that Danny was a little bit of a plain character. For many years, he didn't have a lot going on. It was the Ghost Rider that was the most important element, and he was just the human host. But as we know, especially now, he's just as important as the Spirit of Vengeance because he's that human host that ties it to Earth, you know? So it's a cool little moment of character development here that Brisson brings in. You know, he's not just a one-note hero. Like, he's obviously going through a lot of struggles. And then I appreciate that a lot. And, you know, last but not least, the other thing I liked about this issue 3 was the scene in Utah is very cool where he's hunting Johnny Blaze is hunting the demons. Great art, and it really kind of, it's that cliffhanger that leads to what is Johnny doing trying to get to Mephisto at this point in the Hotel Inferno. So I thought that was great. Now, I will say that a couple things I didn't like about it. The Necrosis scene at the beginning, while I did enjoy it, seemed random to some. I think some readers would be a little confused at and it being out of place. I understand why they were putting it in there, but it didn't work for me in some ways because it's really dropped at the end of that sequence, and we never see it again until issue 4. Danny still hasn't come to terms with how messed up it is that his dead mother came back early in the series to warn him about Blaze. He hasn't really acknowledged how strange and bizarre that concept is. And I know his life is full of insanity, but that just seemed a little crazy to me that he wouldn't really think that something was up with that. And we don't know really the full story, you know, who that really is. Is that just an illusion? Of course, you know, so that seemed a little interesting, but this issue is also pretty exposition heavy. And while I appreciate some of it, there is a lot of talking in this one. And for many people getting into the character, this is not an action-packed issue to keep the excitement going. Yes, we have the battle at the beginning and at the end, but there's just a lot of talking. And I'm not against that as a rule. But honestly, I think if someone is brand new to the character, I just think it's a lot to get through. They might find it a little slow. I thought it was good, but I mean, even I realized that, you know, at the beginning, Danny's talking to Sarah, and then they go to the bar, and then once at the bar, he's talking some more, and then he's talking with his waitress, and then he sneaks off to the bathroom, but really escapes out the side door to go find Stacy Dolan, and he talks with her, and then he goes back to talk to Sister Sarah. So there's just a lot of talking back and forth. I'm sure some readers would be a little frustrated at the pacing of this, especially when we talked about that strange scene at the beginning with Necrosis being kind of unconnected to the other things happening. I also think the people who haven't read the Damnation crossover, which is a pretty massive crossover if you think about it, with Donny Cates a couple years ago, would be pretty lost to find out what the heck is going on with Las Vegas and why Blaze is going there. And there's, it almost relies too much on the fact that you would have had to have read that series to keep going with it. So that's a little frustrating. So out of, you know, my review for three, basically, I'm going to try to start giving out of five, but instead of stars, I'm going to give Blazing Skulls from now on. So I'm thinking for this one here, Ghost Rider issue three, I would give it three Flaming Skulls out of five, because I think while it pushes the story forward, I think it's not the most exciting thing to read for some fans. So I think it's an average issue. It's not bad, but it's not fantastic. So I would say three out of five Flaming Skulls for Ghost Rider 3. Next is the fourth issue, which we already synopsized. I do like the fact that Brisson and Company really ramp up the action in this one from the last issue, which it kind of ups the stakes. You know, I don't need every comic to be action packed to the gills, but it's nice to have some cool moments for this character here. The caretaker, the sister Sarah, is actually starting to dress like her granddad a little bit. The original caretaker that we met in the 1990s, you know, kind of the hat kind of thing, you know, so she kind of gives off a slightly different vibe than she used to back when she was first introduced about a decade ago. So I thought that was a nice little shout out to the 90s series. I thought the art was great. Aaron Kuda returns to form this one, and one for Gary helps out as well. The dark imagery of Limbo is just amazing. It's just badass. You know, once Danny enters through the portal, he sees a green mist floating to the sky. You see tormented faces in the green mist. It's a really great moment. It's really something that it shows it's not the hell realm that we're so used to seeing. It's something almost even more mysterious because we don't know much about it. So I love seeing Danny do that. And also, from a character standpoint, having Danny go through Limbo on his own without any powers is a great moment, because he is developing as a character and he is a hero. I see him as a hero, even though he doesn't have a motorcycle and a flaming head right now. So I think that's a great moment. He's a little disgruntled. He's frustrated, but I think that makes it work for me. So I thought that was really great. The scenery in Limbo was eerie and just weird. It's very, very strange and off-putting. So it's always great to put your characters in unfamiliar environments like that. So I thought that was really wonderful. Blaze confronting Wong was great. I really thought it was awesome. And the fact that, in a way, it almost seemed like the writers at Marvel are trying to rectify the fact that we haven't seen a rescue attempt in earnest to get Blaze out of hell since the end of Damnation. It really seemed like that was going to be one of the next couple things that they were building to. But there's just so much going on in the Marvel Universe that, you know, I'm not surprised. But from Blaze's standpoint, that was kind of part of the deal in a way. Like, he was sacrificing himself for the mission. He was key to that Damnation mission success. So the fact that, you know, they basically left him down there for what he perceives as centuries would be sure to make him a pissed off person. That's for sure. So I'm actually happy that this moment was in there, because it was kind of a hanging plot thread for a while that he's down there and who cares? You know what I mean? You know, at the end of Damnation, instead of, you know, putting forth the team like he said he was going to, Doctor Strange was hitting on Clea, you know? So that's something that if we go back and read that, it's like, well, one of the very next things, it's like he's talking to her about it. So it just, I kind of like that moment that they used the time away from rescuing Blaze to actually, he's now using that against Wong to say, you know, why'd you leave me down there kind of thing. And he is right in a lot of ways. I agree with Johnny Blaze here. You know, even though he's done some pretty heinous things as of late as the King of Hell, you know, his heart is in the right place. He's trying to do it for the right reasons. He thinks he's right, and Danny Ketch thinks he's right. So that's a cool moment that both characters think they're doing the right thing, but have entirely different ways of getting there. But yeah, he goes after Wong and he gives him the pen and stare. And just that scene after poor Wong receives a pen and stare, he's like left drooling there, you know, for any of his past indiscretions. What a great moment. You know, the fact that the pen and stare is still potent in some ways is wonderful to me, because oftentimes it's not shown that way. Sometimes it's ineffectual, which sucks because it was built up so much over the years. You know, it's nice that happened. you know, it's, I do like the fact that Blaze's chain was actually strong enough to bust Mephisto free from his mystical prison. I was surprised it happened, and Mephisto was as well, clearly, but it was, it really kind of showed that Blaze is like showing off at this point. He's growing stronger while Mephisto is growing weaker by the day. So I think that's a great moment. And actually, we don't fully know where they're going at this point and what his plan is to keep the demons back in hell, to bring them back to hell. But I'm definitely interested to see what happens next with it. You know, I did like the way Mephisto was drawn in this one. I had to chuckle a little because after he steps out of his cell, he's probably leaving behind his chessboard with all those Avengers, you know, chess pieces that, you know, he does all these ominous, you know, foreshadowing things with. He left the chess pieces behind. So I thought that was pretty interesting. You know, going back to what I was saying about Danny Ketch, he's doing the right thing despite the fact that he doesn't have any powers. And that's evident when he encounters, Belasco and Necrosis in Limbo. You know, he has no abilities. He's just given an axe to defend himself, but he's doing it anyway. And even though he's bemoaning the fact that why did I let myself get back and sucked into it, I was out and they drove me back in. You know, I was free of the power and now I'm sucked right back in no more than 10 minutes later. It seems to be that's just a character trait. He keeps on getting sucked back into the world of the Ghost Rider and he really can't get away from it, you know. And as we all know from longtime readers of the Ghost Rider is that it really messes with your life. It messes with your relationships and your job and everything that involves your life. The Ghost Rider is not an easy thing to contend with, you know, as someone that you're sharing your body with. So I think some of the best stories over the years with Ghost Rider is it works on that dynamic with the split of the human host versus the spirit of vengeance itself. You know, it's really that inner conflict that's a huge draw to a lot of fans, you know. Some of the things I didn't like about issue 4, despite the fact that I like this one better than the third one, I really feel like it's relying a lot on Damnation, the storyline, to get the most out of this current arc. If you miss that story, which is, if you read only the first four issues, you get a grasp of what's going on, but I think it was like a 17 or 19 part story. It's a pretty vast story, and while I enjoyed it, there are moments that really pay off more if you've read that as well. And that's always frustrating, especially when you're introducing new readers to the character. If they haven't read a lot, then it's going to be tough for them to keep up. And that's true with every comic, but this is more than usual because it's directly tied to Blaze being stuck in hell due to the events of Damnation. So that is frustrating. And the other thing I found frustrating is there was that book called Incoming that came out pretty recently. Now, in that book, there's a 4-page story involving Johnny Blaze that takes place in between issues 3 and 4, where he's driving from Utah to Nevada to go to the Hotel Inferno. It's a short story, but it kind of fills in a little bit of what he was doing at the end and him meeting Wong for the first time. If you just read Ghost Rider 3 and then Ghost Rider 4, you miss the whole first idea of Wong talking to Blaze when he gets there to the Hotel Inferno. And I think that's something that's a shame that they cut out of this particular story and they put in kind of a spin-off series, this Incoming, which many fans didn't even get. I wasn't able to pick it up. You know, I couldn't find it at my store. So thankfully I, you know, had the pages sent to me by some listeners. So, but that's the gist of it. You know, I feel it's frustrating that was taken out. It would have been nice to see him meeting Wong in this story and not a spinoff, but I understand why they did it. It's just still annoying. Also in Limbo, I thought it was pretty interesting that once Danny Ketch climbs up to the plateau, the hillside, and he sees Lord Belasco and his minions just sitting there, basically hanging out. I thought that was a little silly. I mean, I know why they're there, but I mean, it's, you know, like they have nothing better to do than just like wait at the edge of a cliff basically. So I thought that was a little silly. But it didn't bother me that much. I do still dislike the fact that at this point in the series, Danny Ketch as a character is not the Ghost Rider. And that's okay because they're doing some interesting things with this character. They're really mixing it up and, writer Edberson, is really taking some chances here. But in a way, getting into it, you sort of expected that he was going to be a Ghost Rider as well. And that may still pan out to be true, but I think some fans, especially diehard Danny Ketch fans from the 90s, which there's quite a few of them, might be a little frustrated with this one because, you know, despite the fact that Danny is given the spirit of corruption at the end of issue 4, which is a very compelling concept, I'm wondering where they're going to go with it, I think many of our listeners wanted to see him as the Ghost Rider again. And, you know, while that's tried and true, I think there's a reason for that because it was a great series in the 90s, you know, with hit or miss issues, of course, but I think people really miss that component of Danny Ketch's character having that Ghost Rider, and especially because he wasn't himself when he was the Ghost Rider. There was another being, Noble Kale, that was tied to his essence. So, in a way, it was this tug of war of his personality. He wasn't just Danny Ketch powered up with a flaming head. It was another being fully, and we didn't know he was Noble Kale until much, much later in the series. In fact, writer Howard Mackey had thrown some hints in there saying that it was Zarathos the whole time, the same demon that possessed Johnny Blaze in the 70s. But with that being said, I mean, it's I do miss that element when he was a Ghost Rider. And I'm hoping that somewhere down in this series that Danny Ketch will get the power back. But as for right now, they're teasing the Hearts of Darkness Part 2, which is coming up in the next few issues. So expect Logan, Wolverine, and Punisher to make an appearance in the Hearts of Darkness Part 2. So that will be coming up in the next few months in the pages of Ghost Rider. So that is my review. So out of 5 Flaming Skulls, I will give this one 4 Flaming Skulls out of 5 because it was overall a pretty good story. Some moments that didn't work for me, but overall it was an improvement over issue 3. Next up, we have Ghost Rider number 11 from 2007. It's The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, Illinois, The Conclusion, which is part 4, written by Daniel Way, with art by Javier Salteras and Mark Texera. The synopsis will be taken from our Vengeance Unbound blog, which will still be up for readers and listeners. So if you guys ever want to check out Vengeance Unbound, that is still up there. All the reviews that we've done thus far that Chris has worked on is still up in perpetuity. So you can check that out at any time. There's almost 666 reviews on there, actually. So definitely check it out and follow along. So Ghost Rider number 11. Having laid a trap for Lucifer / Jack-O-Lantern and his army of zombies, Ghost Rider walks through the yard of the house to confront the devil. Lucifer throws a volley of pumpkin bombs, which Ghost Rider causes to explode by hitting them with his chain. Inside the house, Sheriff Harry O'Connor barely survives the blast by hiding behind a couch. When the smoke clears, an enraged Lucifer discovers that the explosion has destroyed his army of reanimated corpses, while Ghost Rider stands unharmed. Harry retreats into the house and is confronted by his zombified godson, Cameron, who is Jack-O-Lantern's first victim. Hearing Harry scream, Ghost Rider throws his chain at Lucifer, but is intercepted by the demon's glider. The chain wraps around the glider, which flies into the air, taking the rider with it. Inside the house, zombie Cameron attempts to kill Harry. Carried into the sky, Ghost Rider has an inner dialogue with Blaze, as he stands atop the glider and breaks it in half with his chain. He begins to fall to the ground, but his motorcycle ramps into the air, catching him as he descends. Harry defends himself against Cameron, coming to terms with the fact that his godson was a bad kid who probably would have killed someone if he hadn't been killed first. He kicks a zombie into a refrigerator, which falls on top of the monster and crushing it. Lucifer walks in with his shotgun, but before he can kill Harry, is caught by the legs by Ghost Rider's chain and dragged into another part of the house, where O'Connor has set up a trap consisting of a ring of claymore mines. The mines explode, destroying most of the house and badly injuring Lucifer's host body. Ghost Rider walks up to Jack-O-Lantern, rips out his heart, sets it on fire, and shoves it back into the demon's chest, causing him to explode. Ghost Rider then stomps on the flaming pumpkin head, crushing it. Blaze retrieves Harry from the basement, and the sheriff tells him to get out of his town and to never come back. Blaze rides out of the town that very night. And that is where the issue ends. This issue was actually a Casualties of War tie-in to Marvel's crossover Civil War when Jack-O-Lantern was killed by the Punisher in Civil War number 5. So that's why when Lucifer is taking on the deceased bodies, that's where he came from. Lucifer's plan to invade Earth by inhabiting the bodies of the recently deceased was revealed in Ghost Rider number 4, and Cameron Filarty was Jack-O-Lantern's first victim. He died in Ghost Rider number 8. Javier Sartaris mistakenly drew another victim of Lucifer, Donnie, from Ghost Rider number 9, instead of Cameron in this issue. So, eagle-eyed fans may notice that that's a little bit different. So, for this one here, the Legend of Sleepy Hollow conclusion, overall, I'm a fan of the story arc quite a bit. It wasn't as good as I remembered it being, especially the early parts of this series, with some of its inconsistencies and some of the writing being a little juvenile at times. But overall, I think it kind of ended strong. And it continues the evolution of Johnny Blaze with the Ghost Rider's entity, where they're kind of talking to each other more, they're communicating, and it's like I said before, it's like a tug of war between these characters, you know. So it's a fun story so far, with some pretty stellar art by Tex and Saltares and Dan Brown. I thought they did a fantastic job for the most part. Lucifer, despite the fact that I don't like some of the lines that he says, they did get a chuckle out of me, I gotta say. He did have some funny lines, you know, and it's a little bit meta too, because he is almost like saying, he's like making fun of the concept of Ghost Rider a little bit. And once Ghost Rider says shut up to him, he says, well, that doesn't sound very Ghost Rider-y. You know, it's very silly. It's very juvenile. He doesn't seem as dangerous as he probably could be, but it's played for laughs. And I get it. It works in this instance. It doesn't always work, but I think using the Jack-O-Lantern as Lucifer's host was a stroke of brilliance, really. I thought it was wonderful if they brought him in. And I wish we saw more of him fighting the Ghost Rider. In previous episodes of Inner Demons, we talked about how cool it would have been to see them interacting more. Not just for the flaming skull, flaming pumpkin visual against each other, but I just think it would have been a fun matchup. And I'm glad we got it in this series, even though it was a little bit different than what I expected. Blaze's internal monologue with Ghost Rider. I mean, there's a part where Ghost Rider rides the glider up into the sky, and you hear Blaze like talking in his ear. And I think that's a great moment, because it's typically portrayed as the other way around. Usually when Blaze is or Danny Ketch is experiencing something, sometimes you almost hear the Ghost Rider kind of in his head sometimes. And obviously fans of Robbie Reyes know what that's like with Uncle Eli. That was a big, big part of the 2011 Robbie Reyes series, with Uncle Eli always in his ear, always like, you know, kind of poking the bear, being like, let's do it, let's transform, all that kind of stuff. So I did like that here. And it's a great actual foreshadowing moment when Blaze is talking to the Ghost Rider, that we'll be seeing this aforementioned tug of war in the next few issues, which are fantastic. It's the World War Hulk tie-in, where Blaze has to confront the Hulk. Really great issues coming very soon. The nighttime setting of this story, it just sets a great tone. It works really well. And that moonlight image of the Ghost Rider in the sky, once he, no pun intended, grabs the motorcycle with the moon in the background. And it's really, really iconic. It was used actually at the start of other Ghost Rider issues for some time. So it's kind of a great visual, seeing the Ghost Rider with the moon right in the background. And I gotta say, the end is just fantastic. When he rips the heart out of Jack-O-Lantern, it's just great. You know, he lights it on fire, shoves it right back in his chest, and the dude falls over. It's a great moment that we see the end of this host body of Lucifer. Unfortunately, that makes all the other Lucifer bodies more potent, more powerful, and that's what he's going to have to deal with in the next several issues. And like the TV show The Incredible Hulk in the 70s and 80s, Johnny Blaze is basically asked to leave town before he causes any more damage by Sheriff Harry. So, and that's kind of a, you know, we saw that at one point in his history as well, but seeing him kind of walk off or drive off into the sunset is typical of the Ghost Rider's you know, repertoire, especially in the 70s. He was always trying to help people, but then they would find out who he was and he'd end up having to leave. So that was kind of a cool moment. Some of the things I didn't like about it: occasionally the art is a little unclear concerning like spatial relations. You know, when the pumpkin bombs are thrown at Ghost Rider, he chucks his chain at it and it blows up, but it seems like he hits it in the air, but it blows up on the ground and all the zombies are dead. It doesn't fully make sense. Despite the fact that it looks great, it doesn't fully make sense. So if you can look past that, it's not so bad. But it doesn't make a ton of sense what he's trying to do at that moment, at least to me. As mentioned before, Daniel Way is an acquired taste. Some readers like him a lot. Some readers don't. I fall somewhere in the middle. And occasionally some of these lines are a little childish, but I let it slide a little bit. I feel like Lucifer's just having way too much fun portraying the jack-o'-lantern here. The fight that Harry has in the house with his zombified godson, it just doesn't work for me. It's a little off-putting. It's a little strange. You know, he's fighting this kid that used to be a big part of his life, and he's freely admitting that he was a bad egg, and he was most likely going to turn bad and hurt people pretty severely in the future. And it just seemed like that was out of left field. I didn't get that vibe in any of the previous issues, but it's here now. And it's almost like it was thrown in there just to kind of make us feel less bad that he's fighting this, this child basically. So that fully didn't work for me. Despite the fact that the fridge coming over was kind of illustrated well, it just did not work for me. And then, like, where are the explosives? Like you know, I'm just trying to figure out when he set those up, how he set those up. So after Lucifer gets blown up, I mean, it's just a little weird for me. Overall, I did enjoy this one quite a bit, despite a couple of things that I didn't like about it. I would say out of five, 4 Flaming Skulls out of 5. Because it had some pretty great action, the visuals were fantastic, and I laughed quite a bit. You know, some of Lucifer's lines were pretty funny, and it moves the character forward. It's not a perfect issue, but it's pretty darn enjoyable. So I would say 4 out of 5 Flaming Skulls for Ghost Rider number 11. All right, guys, the last issue review of the night is from the 1990s, Ghost Rider number 20. This is the one that won the listener poll with 53% of the poll responders saying they wanted me to review this one. So, and for anybody who voted for some of the other issues in that, just like the Ghost Rider number 15 from the 70s, don't you worry, because we'll be doing that very, very soon. So just stay tuned for that. So let's briefly talk about this issue here. It is called Sign of Death by Howard Mackey, artist Ron Wagner. He's the guest artist for this one, and inker Mark Texera. So Ghost Rider and Zodiac are at a standoff on a subway platform, thinking that perhaps the Rider will kill him if he takes out Zodiac himself. Chris Daniels, also known as Suicide, attacks the murderer. Zodiac extends his claws, gutting Suicide with one swipe. Realizing that the injury won't kill him, Jenkins rushes again, only to be picked up and thrown in front of the incoming subway train. Zodiac leaps onto the train, but the Ghost Rider refuses to let him escape. The biker extends his chain, which latches onto the back of the train, dragging him down the tunnels behind it. Daniels, meanwhile, climbs from the tracks, mangled but still alive. He pushes his way through the street, where his wounds begin to heal themselves. He chances across a crowd that surrounds the rider's bike, giving him the idea to watch and wait. Suddenly, the cycle comes alive, and as it races off, Suicide jumps on for the ride. Back on the train, Zodiac bails and heads into a side tunnel, followed closely by the Ghost Rider. Nothing the killer does seems capable of stopping the Spirit of Vengeance, who finally gets his hands around Zodiac's neck. The Rider removes the man's mask, revealing a face covered with a dozen demonic eyes. Zodiac uses the distraction to break free and climbs up to the street. The motorcycle approaches, and Daniels bails as the Ghost Rider emerges. Zodiac enters a movie theater and takes 2 hostages, telling the Rider that he'll let them go if he's allowed to walk away. He tells his story, saying how he was once an occult bookstore owner, who one day was visited by 12 demons. Demons offered him power, which he accepted, only to be grafted to the demons instead, acting as their puppet. Zodiac throws the hostages and runs, taking a woman in a car hostage in a fit to escape. They make it onto a bridge where the Ghost Rider finally catches up to them. Suicide jumps the killer, but the woman goes over the side of the bridge. Instead of using the chance to kill Zodiac, Daniels saves the woman. Zodiac stands defeated, but still claims victory since the Ghost Rider will not take a human life. Suicide decides to take matters into his own hands, pushing both Zodiac and himself off the bridge onto a garbage barge below. The two are impaled on wooden spikes as they hit, but as the Ghost Rider discovers when he makes his way down, only Suicide survived the fall. Chris Daniels is now a hero, but despite this, he still wants nothing more than to die. And that's where the issue ends. Zodiac's demon masters first appeared in Ghost Rider number 12, and Suicide actually makes a return appearance in Ghost Rider number 35 for all those diehard fans of his character. I am not one of them. I don't think it's a great character, but we'll get into that right now. So this issue was really rough for me. It's surprisingly how much I dislike this comic, considering how much I enjoyed the Ghost Rider series of the early 90s with Howard Mackey. This is the 20th issue, and unfortunately I think is one of the worst of the 20 issues that I've read so far. It's not without merit completely. I will say that I wasn't a fan of the writing, but some of the art was pretty good in this one. Guest illustrator Ron Wagner did a great job, I think. And especially every time he drew the Rider's skull and things like that, I thought was really well done. And Ghost Rider's mission here, though it gets a little bit annoying with his repetition, I do appreciate his relentless nature in avenging the innocent and punishing the guilty. I thought that was a kind of a cool moment. And the other thing I liked about it was at the end, Danny Ketch is reading the newspaper, and while suicide, the character is lauded as a hero for saving the woman, the Ghost Rider is still blamed for a lot of the city's problems. So it doesn't matter how many good things he does, he still takes the blame and takes the fall. But he's used to that at this point, and he's willing to accept that at this stage of his career. Some of the many, many things I did not like about this comic, overall, it comes down to the character of suicide. I really think it's a horrible character. Chris and I mentioned it on a previous episode of Inner Demons. It just weighs down this issue so much. It's just such a poorly conceived character, an immortal death seeker that just can't die no matter how much he wants to. Is exhausting to read about, honestly. That's not something I really cared. I don't know if they were trying to spin him off into his own miniseries or something, but it flat out does not work, and it's just a poorly conceived character from top to bottom. Hell is repetition, they say, you know, and so there's a lot of that in this comic. Some of it's from Ghost Rider himself. He keeps on saying the phrase "no escape" throughout the whole issue, and it gets really, really annoying after a while, because it just seems like I don't know what Mackey was doing, but it just does not work. He just says it so much that it becomes like a gag. The other people doing repetition is clearly suicide. You know, he always says how much he wants to die and how much pain he's in, and that gets old very fast. And Zodiac, the villain, is not immune to this as well. This is a character that started off really strong, but now is, I see, as a total joke. It's been too long with too many robot doubles and clones and holograms and doom bots that we just don't care that this is where he gets his comeuppance. You know what I mean? And, you know, the reveal with his 12 eyes kind of thing, where the Ghost Rider can't get a pen and stare on him, is somewhat intriguing. But at this point, I'm done with Suicide's character, and I'm done with Zodiac's character completely. His origin is totally far-fetched and kind of silly. So that flat out does not work. Now, if they did some stuff earlier with him, instead of having all the misdirections with him, having robots and stuff like that, all these doubles, it would have paid off a lot. But having him reveal himself in this 20th issue was bad timing, unfortunately. The dialogue is really bad. You know, the Ghost Rider says, "You must pay." And Zodiac responds like a cheesy 60s Batman villain. You know, "I haven't paid for anything in years." It's really unfortunate, because leading up to this, I was looking forward to some of these storylines and seeing what happened with Zodiac, but it just flat out does not work. I really think Suicide taking Ghost Rider's bike is absurd when it's returning back to him. And plus, if you think about it, when we last saw him in some previous issues, his body was humongous. It was a much larger body than what he has in this one. And so even with that, it's inconsistent, because we saw him last issue, he looks like one of those bears at a circus riding a little tricycle. It just was really silly. Granted, they scaled it down in this one, but even that's not consistent. So I was not too happy with this one at all. Like I said, Zodiac lines, they're just right out of another decade. You know, he's got puns left and right. There's no stakes in this for me as a reader, because it's just silly and cheesy. Like there's no emotional weight to it. It's all filler, and that's a shame. You know, this one does not work for me at all. There's a part where Zodiac kills a martial artist, at the movie theater where the Bruce Lee story is actually playing, ironically, and this martial artist yells like "Hiya" or something like that to fight Zodiac, and Zodiac like kills him in 2 seconds. So that was like off-putting and weird that it was just like you introduce this random citizen trying to do the right thing, boom, he's dead. And it's never really followed up on. It's just a little like, you know, it's just his killing spree, basically. Really odd, very, very strange sequence that was. And as I mentioned, with the origin of Zodiac's powers, how he's got all the various elements of the Zodiac signs, you know, that's not too bad. That's been done in the 70s a little bit with the Ghost Rider series. But this flat out just does not work. And there's even a moment where at the end, the Ghost Rider breaks Zodiac's arm and he's like, "Oh, you broke my arm. No big deal." It's just such a shake my head issue. And then how it ends, it's almost like setting up suicide as this kind of like forlorn hero to save the world and stuff like that. Does not work in any way, shape, or form. So unfortunately, you know, I appreciate the listeners voting for this one, but I'm wondering how many folks actually read this recently, because it doesn't hold up. It probably wasn't even that great back then. So it's a shame how this went, because so many of the early Mackie issues were fantastic. But this one wasn't one of them. But anyway, thank you guys for voting on that. It's, you know, I do appreciate it, despite the fact that I wasn't crazy about this comic. We're going to have more polls in the future for this kind of thing as well. So, thank you again for that. All right, guys. So before we close out today's show, I wanted to introduce a new segment that is my way of getting some listener feedback about the current reviews that we're doing. And it's called Post Writers, inspired by some of the letters to the editor back in the day in the Ghost Rider book. My goal is to get some more people telling me their opinions on the book so we can read it on the show. I have my own opinions on the character, but I want to hear from you guys if you guys liked or disliked what we're talking about. And of course, I'll give you guys a shout out on the show on air. So that way it's a nice little dialogue and a way of increasing interactivity with the program. We don't want to just like talk at you. We want this to be a dialogue between fans. So that's my favorite part of doing podcasting is talking with you guys through the Twitter account. So I really feel like this is your chance to send me some of your ideas on the show, and it could get read in the program. So to do so, I would say you can use a hashtag on Twitter, hashtag postwritersgr. And if you send that along concerning the issues that we are doing for an episode, we would be happy to read it on the air. So for this episode, one of our longtime listeners and friends online, Justzilla, he wanted to mention the fact that about Ghost Riders issue 3 and 4. He thought that they were a great setup for the upcoming war that's brewing between Danny and Johnny, and just a really great foreshadowing of things to come. He thinks Danny's new power looks awesome as the Spirit of Corruption. I have to agree. And also, in the next episode, we're going to be talking about some of the Revenge of the Cosmic Ghost Rider issues. So he thinks some of those ones look like a great series as well, especially with Cosmic Ghost Rider not being on Earth anymore. So I think that's a great thing. So thank you for sending in your feedback on that. We very much appreciate it. If you'd like to find out some more about the show, we are online all the time on Twitter. At InnerDemonsGR is the best place you can reach us right now, where you can talk to us back and forth, tell us about what you think about the show, tell us what you like, what you don't like. Hopefully you enjoy the show. We do still have the Facebook and the blog up. Those won't be being updated as much going forward, but the blog will be staying up, as stated earlier in the episode, that those many, many, many hundreds of reviews that Chris did will be staying up. So that way, if you are getting into certain issues or you want to refer back to something, it is literally one of the best places online to find out more about Ghost Rider. It's vengeanceunbound.blogspot.com. I highly recommend it. It's where I used to go when I was a younger fan. So it's my pleasure to keep that up, to share that with you guys, and keep that going. If you enjoy the show, I would say one of the best ways to support the show right now is to leave us positive reviews, 5-star reviews, and recommends on Google and things like that. Really kind of help us with our visibility on iTunes and Stitcher. Any platform you're listening on, if there's a method to review the program, we really appreciate it, because that really helps the visibility of the show and helps to get us out there further. So with that being said, thank you again for listening to this episode. It's going to be kind of a learning experience for me doing it solo, but I won't always be doing it on my own. We're going to try to get some folks in here once in a while to mix it up a little bit and kind of keep the hell cycle moving forward. We hope you stay on this ride to hell with us. Our next episode, 49, will be covering Revenge of the Cosmic Ghost Rider 1 and 2. We'll also be doing the new Ghost Rider 2099 issue by Ed Brisson. And last but not least, we will be reviewing the runner-up of our recent poll, which means Ghost Rider number 15 from the 1970s, which features none other than the Orb, one of our favorites. So thank you guys once again for listening. We hope you stay involved with the show, interact with us online, leave us 5-star reviews if you can. We really appreciate everything you guys do, and keep riding, guys. Take care. Bye.